And now we turn to our weekly Earth Watch to wrap up our show. The search to reduce dependence on fossil fuels and to look for alternative forms of energy doesn't come without controversy and unanswered questions. For example, many look to electric cars as a solution to cut down on pollution and greenhouse gases. But the batteries needed for electric cars and other forms of alternative energy need minerals, including copper, which have to be mined, and those whose lands are being exploited for those minerals are fighting back, citing environmental concerns. Additionally, according to Verge magazine and an article on energy renewables, they make the case that while copper is not scarce, it is needed in abundance. Indeed, every time you and I turn on an electrical switch, copper is being used. And Nevada is not only the nation's largest gold producer, but it is also being exploited for its copper and lithium deposits. In the United States and internationally, mineral deposits are found mainly on indigenous lands, including in Nevada, Navajo territory in the United States. So I'd like to welcome to Sojourner Truth Beverly Harry, who belongs to the Navajo Nation. And she works with the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, known as PLAN. Beverly, welcome.
Oh, hello, Margaret. This is actually Ian, Beverly's colleague. We had discussed that I was going to speak first and Beverly was going to speak second.
I was about to introduce you. This isn't necessarily the order of speaking, but just to let our guests know who's on the line. So let me introduce you, Ian, who is a lifelong resident of Reno, Nevada, a recent graduate of the University of Nevada, Reno, with a bachelor's degree in cultural anthropology, and he works with the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, also PLAN, as the mining justice organizer, and he works closely with Beverly Harry on many mining issues across rural Nevada. So, Ian, let's start with you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Margaret. I'd like to start in talking about some of these mining issues with framing some of the context of land rights. I think I was listening to the previous person being interviewed, and I think that flows well, talking about land dispossession into some of the issues here in Nevada. Across the state of Nevada, there are five different indigenous communities: the Western Shoshone, Goshute, Northern Paiute, Southern Paiute, and the Washoe people. And something that even a lot of people in Nevada don't realize is some of the legal history with the land. The Western Shoshone people never ceded their land rights in the Treaty of Ruby Valley of 1863, which was their treaty with the federal government. And as recently as 2006, the Committee for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination from the United Nations submitted a report calling out the United States federal government specifically for denying the treaty rights of the Western Shoshone. So given that context, there are still 26 million acres of land in Nevada, which legally are Western Shoshone lands. And those treaty lands, for the listening audience down in Los Angeles, it extends down into Southern California, almost to Los Angeles. So I think that's really important to set as a foundation of what the history of the land rights are here. And two, just to set some context, Nevada, since our creation as a state, has been dependent on mineral extraction. The mining industry actually had a hand in writing our constitution, and that's where you find the procedure for how they're taxed. So we have lots of dependence in these rural areas, which causes lots of issues in trying to address these problems, because you have communities where folks are depending on the jobs at their mines to put food on their table, and that has to be respected. But we have to move on to be able to diversify those economies so that people can be more protected in standing up for the long-term things that we need. That economic dependence also brings various other issues. One thing that I'll just mention as a side is only 13% of those good-paying jobs go to women, which poses another big issue with our dependence on mining. But it's not okay. All doom and gloom. What I'd like to mention is that we are in a climate crisis, but I think especially in the context of Nevada, it's really important to view it as an opportunity as well. And as we're building up some of this renewable infrastructure, making sure that there's models of community ownership and that it's economically benefiting folks on the ground so that they're able to build up their power. So that's a little bit on the context. I don't know, Margaret, if you had a question or I can...
We just have a few minutes here, and I'd like to hear from Beverly Harry, and wondering if there are any ecological concerns about mining, and there is a rapid call now, given electric cars and other things, for more copper mining in particular to happen, but also lithium. Beverly Harry.
Yeah. Okay, I'll hand the phone to Beverly. Beverly is fielding the question on copper mining to me. She can speak more on impacts to indigenous communities from their perspective.
Ian, we have literally about a minute left. And so somebody's going to have to say something quickly. If not, we got to wrap this up.
Okay, so what was your question? This is Beverly Harry with the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada.
It was about the concerns, the ecological, environmental concerns about around mining.
Yeah, there's several tribes within Nevada, and probably a lot of them across the nation, and including Alaskan natives that are continuing to have impacts on their lands. These are indigenous lands. And what is happening right now is there's a monumental impact on water, the water contamination, the way that these mining companies and mining industries go about their use of water, using groundwater, the way that they place the contaminants back on the rock, and then create these pit lakes. So there's a lot of problems the way that mining companies are extracting and leaving these areas for generations to come to clean up.
Absolutely. And we know that there's been a lot of contamination. I remember the Rio Tinto mines happening there. There's uranium contamination happening, impacting the health and well-being of people in the Navajo Nation, and now this. But we're really out of time. So Beverly Harry, who is a member of the Navajo Nation, thank you for joining us. And thank you, Ian Bigley. And we also want to thank the Global Justice Ecology Project, who partnered with us for our Weekly Earth Watch. Thank you, both of you.